The living wage is an interesting notion invented by the state. The politicians who talk about it have no real idea what it means, as they have spent their lives avoiding any experience of it. Senior politicians do not share the world of the common man. They don't travel the same way he travels, educate their children in the same place, and if they suffer ill health, they go to different bits of the hospital or different hospitals altogether. They rarely share a beer with him. They don't go on holiday where he goes, eat where he eats, or live where he lives. Nor do they share his struggle for financial survival, particularly in the field of pensions. Indeed, their only contact with him is at election time when they try to persuade him that they are marginally less disgusting than the other fellow. A living wage is totally subjective. Sir Richard Branson could not possibly live on my income. I can barely live on it myself, as we indulge our hobby of horses and occasionally purring down to the south of France in the Jag. My income is high for Yorkshire, significantly more than the average national wage. But I have friends with two or three Bentleys, some with two houses, much bigger than mine, and a yacht to boot. I've also happily chums at the rugby club with children still at school who lurch from one month to the next just about getting by. I doubt any of us would agree on what a living wage should be. My London friends are staggered by the price of houses near me. Around about £400,000 will buy you in an unspoilt Georgian market town, a lovely house, five-bedroomed, double-fronted, restored period house with private garden, maybe even a tennis court. You can also get an excellent curry with all the trimmings and a couple of bottles of Cobra for two people for 35 quid. A serious problem for small and medium-sized businesses in the north of England is that they're on unbelievably tight profit margins. I speak to shopkeepers, restaurateurs, farmers, small manufacturers. They're my neighbours and fellow pubgoers. They tell me they simply don't have the margins to pay the forthcoming minimum wages. They'll have to lay people off. Let me give you one example. A local foodie pub has built its reputation on value. Big portions, but low margins. Now on Saturday and Sunday nights, and Sunday lunchtimes as well, there's no problem. They're always full. But on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, it's a bit iffy. They can't afford to keep two waitresses on those nights in the hope that it will be a good night. One of the waitresses will have to go. Or they'll have to close, in the winter certainly, midweek. I could give you a dozen examples. There's no need, because unless you're a senior politician, you already get the drift. No one will earn more money in the north of England. The minimum wage will mean more skilled and experienced staff will expect an increase. If the waitress gets another 2 quid an hour, the chef will expect no less. Small shopkeepers will lay off a member of staff and get in earlier and leave later. This is the real world of commerce, the driving force of any economy. It's small and medium-sized businesses. Politicians who drink in their clubs with CEOs of FTSE companies or just meet the usual sycophancy as the captains of industry grovel around for their knighthoods or other government favours, as they quietly put thousands of workers on shorter hours and the customers wait longer for service, or indeed if they're not completely replaced with robots. Let me suggest to politicians who cry crocodile tears over the living wage that to help the working man or woman, they need to first reduce the crippling tax burden. Most people could get by well enough if the price of their petrol was halved, their beer and wine bills were halved, their cigarettes were affordable. Everything they buy from cars to saucepans carries 20% VAT. Well, let's get rid of that. The town hall shouldn't whack everybody with monster rate bills, for which most people get very little. The national insurance tax should be removed. I mean, I could go on. Everyone could live reasonably well if the state took its hand out of our pockets for once and left us with more of our own money. In a supposedly free society under the rule of law, in a property-owning democracy, we do not want or need this constant state interference. Let liberty of contract win the day. let's all sit down with a potential employer and agree what a salary should be. Free of government theft would be nice. And let's come to an amicable arrangement on a living wage. If it doesn't suit either party, well, the parties can just walk away.